Now notice, he does not walk, we're told here, in the counsel of the ungodly. Now counsel means advice. He doesn't listen to them. Have you ever noticed that even the Lord Jesus never referred to his own reason or his own mind as the basis for a decision? He always put it on the basis of when he made a decision. It was the will of God. He never said to his disciples on an occasion, "Now, fellas, we're going to take a trip up into Galilee again, and I've been thinking this over. This is the best thing to do, according to my viewpoint, and after all, I'm smarter than you fellas." That's not the way that he approached it. He always say, "I'm going to Jerusalem." Why? Because I'm going to do the will of my Father. Or I'm going into this area, and I'm going to do this thing because it's the will of my Father. And therefore, it's one thing to listen to counsel, and I think good counsel is fine, but certainly not the counsel of the ungodly. And we are told that we're to walk by faith. And walking by faith is not listening to the counsel of the ungodly. And who are the ungodly? Well, actually, the ungodly are those who just leave God out. There's no fear of God before their eyes. The ungodly is the man today that lives as if God does not exist. Around us, there are multitudes of people just like that. They're living as if God does not exist. They get up in the morning. They never turn to God in prayer. They never thank Him for the food of the day or for life and for health. They just keep moving right along, living it up. And they are ungodly. They just leave God out. Now the sinner, he's the one that takes over, because the ungodly gets the man to stand. And we find him standing in the way of sinners. And who's the sinner that takes over? Well, sin here, it actually means to miss the mark. They don't quite live as they should live. They are the ones that the Scripture speaks of when it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And again, the Scripture says, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes." The sinner actually may think he's all right, but he's a sinner. And the Scripture says to him, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." This is the sinner. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, the Lord Jesus, all of the weight of our guilt. Sinners, that's our picture. Now, who are the scornful here? Well, this is atheism. They not only deny God, but they exhibit an antagonism and hatred of it. You know, to deny God is actually the worst form of immorality. And believe me, God has something to say about the scorner. In Proverbs 3:34, he says, "Surely he scorneth the scorners." Now notice verse 2 here. We have the positive side now. Before, this is what the happy man did not do. Now, here is what the happy man does. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." The positive side. You remember the Lord Jesus told about a man that was possessed with demons, and the demons went out of the man, and the man was all swept, cleaned, and garnished. That is, he got a good polished job, and he thought everything was all right. But it wasn't, because he's still owned by the demon. Finally, the demon wandered around, couldn't find any place to go, but met up with some other demons, and he came back, brought his friends with him. We're told the last estate of the man was worse than the first. A great many people today think if they just sort of clean up a little, that's all that is necessary. May I say to you, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That means joy. It's not a burden. Actually, the tear, the sigh, the groaning that's in this world, the heartache and the heartbreak and the broken homes are all a result of God's broken law. And this is the love of God. John says in 1 John 5:3, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." His commandments for believers are not only the Ten Commandments. The idea today that when you're saved by grace, it means you can be lawless and live as you please and do as you please, and that's just not the picture that we have given to us in the Word of God. In fact, the matter is, you can't be lawless for the very simple reason that, brethren, we've been called unto liberty. Paul says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You see, liberty is not license by any means. And somebody said to me, you do not keep the Ten Commandments to be saved. That's right. And the fellow says, then that means you can break them. It doesn't mean you can break them. It means, my friend, that you can't measure up to God's law. You have to have perfection, and you and I do not have it. And we have to come to God by faith. Now, we're called to live on a higher plane than the law is. We're to have in our lives the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These are the things. So there is the discipline and the guidance of grace. And that's a very important thing, by the way. So that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, we're told, he meditates. Now, what does it mean to meditate? Actually, it's a picture of a cow chewing a cud. Thomas A. Kempis put it like this. He says, I have no rest but in a nook with a book. And the book is the Word of God. It means to meditate upon it. Chew the cud. Picture of a cow chewing a cud. Bartholomew Ashwood back in 1688 said, meditation chews the cud. The old cow goes out on the field of a morning, you know, and eats the tender grass with the dew in it. My, it's quite delicious. It's a good breakfast food. And so she comes and lies down under the tree. It's hot in the daytime. And I'm told a cow has about, what, 3 stomachs? So what she does is take that nice breakfast food that she had, the tender grass that had the dew on it, and she brings that back up and chews it again and moves it over to another tummy. Then she's having lunch, you see. And it means to read the Word of God and then meditate upon it. You remember James says that some people look at the Word of God like a mirror and then they leave and they forget what manner of man they are. Meditate upon the Word of God. Let the Word of God have its way with you. Now, in his law doth he meditate day and night. My friend, God hasn't any plan or program for you to grow and develop as a believer apart from the Word of God. Now, you can become as busy as a termite in your church or in church activity, and probably with about the same effect of a termite. You'd be just as busy, and you'll never grow. You don't grow by activity. You grow, my friend, by meditating upon the Word of God. Only as you and I, we chew it, if you please. It's a nice figure of speech, I think. Now, this is the practice of the happy man.